Let's continue in our study of this 11th chapter of John by reading verses 17 through 37. Now in these verses, we have the Lord Jesus coming to the village of Bethany where Lazarus had died. We see him comforting the sisters Mary and Martha before he raises Lazarus from the dead. Let's pick it up then in verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Once again, some background notes. In verse 17, we see that when Jesus arrived in Bethany, Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. So apparently Lazarus must have died shortly after the messenger was sent, because you would have 1 day for the messenger to go from Bethany over to the east side of Jordan where the Lord was. Then, remember, we read in verse 6, he delayed for 2 days, and now another day travel back to Bethany, a total of 4 days. So there's no doubt then that Lazarus is really dead. In verse 19, we read that a number of the Jews had come to console Mary and Martha. So they would be weeping along with Mary and Martha. The word for weep that's used in reference to Mary and these friends in verses 31 and 33, that word is a Greek word which means a loud expression of grief, especially in mourning for the dead. I remember hearing this kind of mourning when I was in Jerusalem a few years ago. And I asked our guide, "What is that loud, continuous crying, almost like a wailing?" And he said there had been a death in one of the families there. In verse 33, we read that when the Lord saw this, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Groaned in the spirit, that is deeply moved in spirit, and troubled his spirit. Was not at peace. Why? Because of death. Death is an intruder. Death is an enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:26. Death is an enemy. Death is the result of sin. Romans 6:23. The penalty of sin is death. Until our Lord's death and resurrection, Satan had the power of death. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. And then we read in verse 35 that Jesus wept. Now, this is a different Greek word than the word that's used for weeping in verse 31 and 33 in reference to Mary and the Jewish friends there. The word that's used for weep in reference to our Lord denotes quiet weeping, shedding of tears. This, by the way, is the shortest verse in the English Bible. If you really want to get technical here, the reason I said the shortest verse in the English Bible is because the shortest verse in the Greek New Testament is actually 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. That takes less letters than Jesus wept. Just a little Bible trivia here, folks. Anyway, this is the third time that we see our Lord weeping in the gospel record. He wept over Jerusalem, you remember. And then he wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here's the other place where our Lord weeps in the gospel record. Notice that it's not wrong to weep. God has made us emotional people. It's not wrong for a man to weep in times of deep emotion. So this scripture, furthermore, would definitely support the doctrine that Jesus was fully man. He wept. Now that really does then lead us to our doctrinal points for this portion of John 11. And we could certainly make that one of them if we wanted, that the Bible teaches that Jesus was fully man. 100% God, but also fully man, 100% man. But once again, as I did in our study of the first 16 verses, I've decided to take two doctrinal points or teaching points dealing with death and believers. So, doctrinal point number one. Believers react differently when a loved one dies. Believers react differently when a loved one dies. Now, I think we know that from experience, but it's certainly taught in the Bible right here. Mary and Martha both say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 21 and verse 32. But their reactions are quite different. Mary stays in the house, weeping with the mourners. Martha goes out to meet the Lord on the road. And we don't read of her weeping at all. Mary falls at the Lord's feet, there in verse 32, overcome with grief. Martha, on the other hand, has a profound theological discussion with the Lord. Their reactions are so different. Well, the same is true of us when a loved one dies. You know, I remember when I got the news that my dad had died last February, I didn't cry. I tried to cry and I couldn't cry. I felt guilty for not crying. But my reaction was, I was out of town. I didn't sleep the whole night, but my mind was racing a mile a minute. What about my mother? What about, I'm the oldest son in the family. I have the responsibility for funeral arrangements. On and on it went. But I could not cry. I don't think I shed a tear concerning my father's death until at least a month later. Well, reactions are different. Believers react differently when a loved one dies. Mary and Martha both love Lazarus, but they reacted differently. And the Lord does not rebuke either one. So it's okay. Believers react differently when a loved one dies. A second teaching point. There are different ways to comfort believers at the time of death. There are different ways to comfort believers at the time of death. Because people are different and they react differently, there are different ways to comfort them when that loved one dies. We see the Lord comforting Mary in one way and Martha in another way. With Martha, he answers her questions. There in verse 24, you see that Martha had the Jewish idea of a general resurrection of the dead on the last day, the day of judgment. So our Lord's answer to Martha in verse 25, let's read that verse again. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he may live. What is the Lord saying to Martha here? Basically, he's saying, Martha, you need to understand more about the resurrection. You need to understand that as God, I am the resurrection and the life. That is, I have the power to raise Lazarus back to life right now. And furthermore, because I am the resurrection and the life, everyone who believes in me shall live spiritually and eternally, even though they may die physically. And then verse 26, everyone who lives physically and believes in me shall never die spiritually and eternally. So there's no need to fear death. If you're a believer, there's no need to fear death. Because the Lord is the resurrection and the life. We see in verse 27 and 28 that Martha goes back to the house not only comforted, but having grown in her faith as well. So you see, the Lord comforts Martha by answering her theological questions. She grows in her faith and her concept of the resurrection to come. You know, I remember going to comfort a couple who had lost their child. Now, I intended just to pray with them, but when I got there, they began to ask me all kinds of theological questions. Our whole time was spent, you know, not in me weeping with them, but more in answering their questions. And believe it or not, seeing the biblical answers did bring comfort and growth to them. But how different we see is our Lord's way of comfort of Mary. As far as the record goes, the Lord says nothing to comfort Mary when he meets Mary, and then he weeps. Well, I think there's a lesson here for us. You don't need to always say something in order to comfort believers who have lost loved ones. Just your presence is enough many times for many believers who have lost loved ones. And don't be afraid to weep with people. The Lord did. He didn't mourn loudly like those around him, but he did weep silently. Don't be afraid to just be there. Say nothing to a person who is grieving. Your supportive presence may be all that's needed. I'm sure you can identify with me. I don't like to go into those kinds of situations. I feel awkward. I don't know what to say. Can you identify with that? Your supportive presence may be all that's needed. There are different ways to comfort believers at the time of death. The practical application we could draw from this portion of John 11 is this. Don't let your if-onlys move you away from God. Don't let your if-onlys move you away from God. At the time of a loved one's death, invariably, the if-onlys will arise. If only we had gone to the hospital sooner. If only we had used a different doctor. If only he or she hadn't taken that trip. It wouldn't have happened. They wouldn't have died. And it won't be long before the if-onlys begin to center about God. And they'll come just like we see here on the part of Mary and Martha. Verse 21 and verse 32. Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. We'll have those same kinds of questions. If only God had warned us. If only God loved us more. If only God wasn't mad at me. If only God approved of me more. Well, it's during times of crisis that these if-onlys will definitely come. And they will either move you away from God or toward God. For both Mary and Martha, their if-onlys move them closer to the Lord. I know people today who are bitter towards God for taking a loved one away in death. They've never forgiven God. Their if-onlys have moved them away from God. But on the other hand, I also know some folks who have moved closer to the Lord as a result of a loved one being taken away. Their if-onlys have brought them closer to the Lord. Be prepared for the if-onlys. They will come when a loved one dies. Let them move you closer to the Lord. Don't let your if-onlys move you away from God.